Hello, everybody. DocsCast co-host Josh Trumbo here with just a quick word before we get into this week's episode. This is the audio from the very first ever Paradox Comic Show, which is a show that airs Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Central on twitch.tv/ParadoxCNC, as well as the Paradox Facebook page. It features upcoming comic releases, previous issues, a lot of good discussion therein. And we hope that you enjoy this episode of the DocsCast, but do recommend that you go and check out the video. It can be found at twitch.tv/ParadoxCNC. We hope that you'll tune in live for future episodes of the comic show, but for now, please enjoy this episode of the DocsCast.
This is a DocsCast, not an Argos DocsCast, or a Bendis and LocksCast. Now I'm hungry, this is a DocsCast. It's a nerdy talks cast. Discuss a mock cast with Rich Early and friends.
Hey, welcome one and all to the Paradox Comic Show. This is, thank you for joining us. This is going to be your show for news, reviews, previews, which is kind of funny because it's a previews magazine. And we're going to give you a chance to buy comics, add comics to your list, the whole bit. So this isn't exactly a Paradox Docs cast as you may have been used to. It's something brand new. It's going to happen every Tuesday night at about this time, sometime between 6 and 6:30, depending on, you know, we get the comics in during the day and we've got to file them and get them ready and get ready for the show. There's just so much to do. It's unbelievable. You guys don't even know what it's like to run a comic book shop. This is our big, supersized, all-foil, die-cut, chromium, foil-embossed, special first issue, never-before-so-collectible-ever special issue. Did I forget, Darren, any of the...
Well, Valiant's doing glass.
The glass covers. Yeah. Good point, so... All right, today's show features the dynamic Darren Gregson.
Hello, everybody.
The bombastic Brandon Ross.
Hello.
And the roaring Richard Early. You guys were easy. I couldn't come up with an R that matched roaring Rich. I don't know. It was okay, but you guys got good ones. I think this is always going to be a problem. So anyway, you can follow the show live right here on Facebook or Twitch if you're doing that right now. Great. Obviously, the content will be up there after the show runs as well. If you want to find us otherwise, you can find us as Paradox CNC on Twitter and Instagram. Our Facebook page, if you are want to like it, if you're finding this but you don't like our fan page, it's Paradox Comics-N-Cards, because when I was 23, I was terrible at naming things. And if that's not enough for you, you can email us at paradox@paradoxcnc.com, or you can even call the shop at 701-239-9505. So, here's how it works, and so you're somewhere, or you're here, or you're someplace, and you know how to follow us. So that's all the information I could possibly give you. So, what's this show all about? We are going to entertain you, we're going to inform you, and most of all, we're going to let you get a chance to look at the comics that are coming out this week a night early. You can add them to your pull box if you're already a Paradox Comics subscriber, and if you're not, you can chime in and we'll tell you how to do that as well. Or you can flat out buy this stuff too. If you just are finding us and you see something you like, let us know. We're doing the simplest thing ever. You just post in the comments for ads, buys, anything, and if you're a current customer, we'll add it to your pull box. If you want to become a customer, let us know. Otherwise, just post, hey, I really want that issue, and you will get a PayPal invoice via Messenger. It's that simple, Darren. Like, I think a monkey can do this, but I don't know.
If we get orders from monkeys, that's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how it works. You know, that's the show. Darren, are you excited for our first issue?
I am, yes. I'm quite tired today, so I've been saving up all my energy for this.
I noticed you were really dragging this afternoon. The 2.5 days off just weren't enough.
John was worried about me. I assured him I was just tired.
Brandon, you are new. Have you ever been on a DocsCast?
I've never been on a DocsCast.
We're 260, 270 episodes. That's our weekly podcast that appears every Monday morning and is recorded usually in this room as well. So, welcome aboard.
Yeah, It's great to be here.
We used to do this stupid thing where every time you were new for the first time, you had to come up with a catchphrase, and then you always had to say the catchphrase every time you.
I didn't.
And now you weren't ready. We pretty much got rid of that. So, yeah. All right. So we're gonna start. So the format for the show is going to be, we're going to recap last week's books for a bit, do a little news, speculate about tomorrow's books as we record this, and then we'll go through, we'll show you everything, and that's when we have a big chance to make sure and see what you want to buy. So let's start with last week. We didn't. What are we talking about from last week?
Well, I've got a couple of books. I've got Conan the Barbarian and Heroes in Crisis.
How's the art on Conan? I really like Mahmud Asrar in general, but did he fit Conan?
It was the. I've never read a Conan book, so I can't really compare. I mean, I know Barry Windsor Smith is. I like his work from the 70s, but never actually read it as a comic. I'm just aware of who he is and. I think that was my favourite part of the book, actually, the artwork. It was solid. Now, I actually thought it was a little bit... It reminded me, some of it, of Chris Bichello. And I know you're not a fan, so I don't know if... Maybe that... Obviously, that can't ring true for you, because you if you like is it Mahmud?
Mahmud Asrar.
Yeah. And you don't like Chris, maybe you know, there's a disconnect, the work isn't as similar as I thought, but I felt it was very similar.
No, actually, I think that's a good point, now that you say that. And it's weird, because I don't like Bakalu that much, but I do like Asrar, and so now that you say that, I can't explain it.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I mean, I made some notes, I came prepared.
Bakalu doesn't draw feet.
I never noticed that.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. Or if he does, he does those anime, either those anime feet, you know, those stupid triangle anime feet. Okay. Brandon, you know what I'm talking about?
I know a little bit, yes.
Do you have real feet, or do you have triangle feet?
I think they're triangles. They're more like skis, I really think. But, okay. So Heroes in Crisis as well came out last week. Issue 3.
Issue 4. Yes.
I'm a little behind getting the chat. Brad Carson says he's telling Jen, but I don't remember what I said that's worth telling Jen about. But but hi, Brad. Just like Brad, chime in. Join us for this show. Right now we're talking about last week's books, so let us know what you thought of last week's books. What did you like? And so on and so forth. Brandon, I've been in comics for 25 years as a retailer, and I bought comics for like 15 years before that. I'm going to tell everybody a terrible secret right now. I don't like Conan. I don't care. I don't know why. I always say that I don't like fantasy, and it's not really true. I do like fantasy, but Conan's just I'm just a big dumb guy wandering around. But I don't know. Does Conan do anything for you?
It's never really caught my attention. Yeah, seeing it really pushed last week as kind of a smaller comics week.
Yep.
I was thinking about picking it up, but I ended up getting some other suggestions on.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. And I mean, last thing about Conan, if you like Conan, you either like or don't like. You love Conan, you know. People are fanatic for Conan if they like Conan, you know. So it was hard to gauge when we were ordering that book. It was just hard to gauge because the Dark Horse ones didn't sell very well, but neither did Dark Horse Star Wars compared to Marvel Star Wars. So it was sort of hard to just take a guess on what we should actually do. So the art was good, story was
It was my first Conan comic that I'd ever read.
Sure,
and I think you just said this. If you're a fan of Conan, I think you would enjoy it because it's got what exactly the story is exactly what I imagined it would be, and that would be maybe a good thing if you were a fan of Conan. But for me, it just didn't, it just didn't click with me.
That being said, we do have copies for sale. all right, what else we got from last week? Was Heroes in Crisis week, right?
Number 4, yes. Written by Tom King and art by Clay Mann.
I can chime in a bit. Did you read Heroes in Crisis 4?
Yes, I did.
Well, what did you... Yeah, give us your take.
So, as not really being up to snuff on DC heroes and some of those supporting heroes, I do love Booster...
Okay.
Booster Gold in there. And I think it's a really great kind of talking about mental health and what the superheroes in the DC universe go through. and learning more about Sanctuary and whatnot.
I just want to quick say hi to David Economos, to Jen Gagno, to Mark Bailiff, and Mark Gaviglio. Thanks everybody for joining. If you're just tuning in, this is our new weekly comic show. We're doing a little recap of last week's books. We're going to give you the opportunity to look at next week's or tomorrow's books and add them to your list or buy them flat out. I guess technically I should disclaimer and say you can't actually buy them tonight. We'll have to sell them to you tomorrow because we'd be breaking the street date, but you get the idea. So, sorry, Brandon.
This was kind of the first book of DC that I've been reading since coming back into comics with the last free comic book day, and it feels refreshing, but I'm a little bit disoriented, and I think that's just me not knowing all the characters so well.
Okay.
But it's still got some great storylines in it, and it's still a great whodunit. What's going on?
Hey, Kate, and David says that he is really enjoying it and all the backstories that's woven in. You know, the thing about it that's jarring if you're a longtime fan is Marvel is often held as being the realistic universe. And DC, and if you don't read DC, maybe this is a reason, maybe not, is thought of as more like the fantasy universe, you know. And so having the fantasy universe characters being tackled with their mental health issues is a little, you know, a little... juxtaposition. I don't know, Darren, if that makes sense to you, but the art was great on the last issue. Clayman killed it.
Yes, I mean, I'm actually... I've made a note here that I'm struggling with this book. I felt... When Tom King announced this book, this is not exactly what I imagined it to be. And I've read a few things online, and I have no real reason to think this is true, but my feeling is that this is not the book that he originally intended to write.
Sure.
It was more... I just feel like the murder plot has just been thrown in, and it just... I'm really struggling with that. It doesn't connect to me with everything else with Sanctuary and the importance of dealing with PTSD. I feel like maybe that is... just an element to spice up the story, whereas if it was dealt differently, the characters dealing with just PTSD would be, could be interesting and thoughtful enough. So, and we're on the fourth issue, and after we spoke with Brandon,
Katie and Brandon, Council,
their feedback was absolutely astonishing, and I was gripped by every moment they were talking. And I was like, I'm going to give this book a bigger, more of a go because they've got me invested in the story. But I feel like this is not what I expected it to be. And I will finish reading it. And then we're only four issues in. It's a 9-issue story, so there's a lot can happen. But I just feel a disconnect from that murder mystery story. It just doesn't feel right to me. And I can't explain it, especially when, the people that are... the two characters that are the prime suspects are very important characters, so I just can't connect.
Seems very unlikely that they committed mass murder.
Yeah.
So it's not impossible. Harley did. She's done it before. That was a big thing early when they relaunched Harley in the New 52 and gave her this whole new look. I mean, she murdered a bunch of children in Gotham City, so she has killed before, but... I will say, Brandon, and I want to say hi to Andrew Bouchard and Colin. Colin, you're supposed to be working. but we'll take it. Brandon, it is true there would be more meat on the bones of the psychological stories without the murder mystery. But, something does need to move the action along. And again, for me, I said this on that other podcast, that I am concerned about handling Booster Gold this way. It's nothing like he's ever been handled before. And so I don't quite know where that's headed. But with no familiarity, how do you feel about the structure?
Yeah, so I really love the 9-panel, confessional sort of talking head sort of thing, where it's the recording of a hero, sitting alone by themselves, recounting something or talking about themselves in a very, candid way. The idea of Sanctuary is really interesting to me. A safe place where heroes struggling with something can go and seek the help that they need and do it anonymously off the grid. But I think that that kind of interesting off-the-grid anonymous sort of thing with Sanctuary leads itself to the murder mystery plot, where since it's so off the grid, nobody knows who was there, who, you know, who else could possibly be on the loose from this, from what happened. I just think it setting itself up in certain ways to be a really cool, innovative book in that manner. Yeah, the murder mystery does feel a little bit ham-fisted, like just to get the next issue, interest for the next issue to see, you know, what else, what other clues come out. But I do love the confessional talk.
Sure, definitely. Stuff. And there's definitely some moments that I've enjoyed in issue 4 as well, towards the end, where Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, they're in the Batcave and they're all talking about Lois Lane and what she's going to do. I don't want to spoil the story, and I thought that was really well done. There are moments in there that I enjoyed.
And that, for me, is an interesting branch of where the story is headed. Yeah. So, hi to Brandon Sugihara and Troy Osgard, and one more time for those joining you. So our new weekly live comic show. It's unlike our podcasts. We're going to review last week's books a little bit. We're going to talk about tomorrow's books, and then we're going to show you tomorrow's books. You can use this as a place to add books to your lists. If you're not a current subscriber, you can buy books from us, and we will just, all we'll do is send you a PayPal invoice through Messenger, and there you go. So we have just a couple minutes left on recapping last week. We only talked two books. How about a brief... What were your recommendations that you got?
So, I came in, and I feel like I've been kind of sleeping on the indie comics since I came back into the indie books. And asked Darren, you know, what are some cool books I'm probably missing out on? And one of them was Die.
Mm-hmm.
And cool enough, Die number 2 is coming out tomorrow. And that was a fantastic book. I just felt absolutely transported when I read it. I was really living in it. And then Prodigy, which I asked for like an action recommendation, and I mean, I saw Mark Miller, so I'm like, oh, this is going to be, you know, in your face, something cool like that. And it's not exactly action, but it's got some of that fun action elements in it. So, and Prodigy number 2 also coming out tomorrow. So, it's another book that I've reviewed. And
another book. It's coming out tomorrow. It's called Criminal. Have you ever read any of the Brubaker Sean Phillips?
I have not read the
Brubaker. It's an older series that they've worked on together, but they've brought it back as a regular. There are trades, but I think it would be a good jumping on point. That was the book I was thinking about after you got... Here's what happens. You want recommendations, I'll give you some, and then as soon as you go, I'll think of more.
Absolutely.
Darren has done an excellent job, I think, of curating a lot of what's in the shop, and you know, he's got good instincts, and that's leading to, you know, a good shelf of stuff. Jake Luce is tuning in as well. I don't know if it's Luce or Luce. I'm sorry. Jake Luce might be wrong, but, you know. I want to touch on Detective 994 and 995. 995 came out last week. It's totally different. It's a throwback comic. It feels like a 1980s Detective Comics issue from, like, circa the 400s, like around year one or year two, done by Todd McFarlane, and just that whole time period. If you've been looking for a traditional Batman book Snyder and King, just, you know, they do a lot of great stuff, but you just want that sort of classic Batman detective feel, that's what this book has been really good at so far. So, and we're counting down to number 1,000, obviously. So, anybody else got a book?
No, that my two were the Conan. Oh, so you're asking customers? No, yes.
Brandon, how about yourself?
My pull list was just Heroes in Crisis, and that's what got me to ask, hey, you know, Darren, what's some books I'm sleeping on?
Sure.
Get those to me.
I mean, there were a lot of books last week. Oh, I mean, Uncanny X-Men number 8. We're moving towards our conclusion there and getting ready to launch Age of X-Men. I mean, going for lots of X-Men nostalgia. We went to the Age of Apocalypse during this series. We've seen Legion. We've seen X-Man, Nate Gray. They just on the side finished the Extermination story with lots of effects in the in Cable's life and the big teaser about Cyclops at the end. So it's been kind of exciting just because it's been weekly. There's always been another installment. So thumbs up on the nostalgia. Not my favorite book, but very much you can see C.B. Cebulski's influence in what he wants to do with the X-Men in that book. So, so yeah, real quick, one of the things I'd like to add into is any news of the day that breaks. So I just checked news a little bit ago, and you know, if it's already news over the weekend, we probably won't spend a lot of time on it. But the things people are talking about, Marvel's making a lot of announcements today about their 80th anniversary stuff, saying they're going to bring back a lot of classic titles and teams and things like that. And thankfully, in the fall, there's going to be a mystery book that is going to change continuity forever. Alter history forever. And I don't know about anybody else, but I've been waiting for Marvel to alter its history forever for so long, and I'm glad it's finally going to happen. So I shouldn't be that sarcastic. I mean, I'm excited about a lot of Marvel stuff right now, right? So
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy is just weeks away. Yeah. That's a book. We'll announce the Great Groot giveaway next week, so I'm very excited about that plan. So, and then, you know, Kate's talked about this on Twitter, and they're talking about it now that they think he met with Ryan Stegman in New York City for some big Venom conference, and he was teasing that it's like the biggest thing he's ever done. So
I hadn't read that. The thing I read yesterday and was that there's rumors that maybe older creative teams are being brought back on to do some books, some classic style books, maybe. That is a rumor.
Well, we know he was talking to John Byrne and people like that, and we know he loves, you know, the older books and is a big guy for nostalgia. So, I mean, I think that could be pretty cool if it was, depending on what they're thinking exactly. So, supposedly there was I saw there was going to be some live event. They called it like Fantastic Four Week today, starting today or something.
I haven't seen that today.
Yeah, but okay. I didn't see the what the thing was. So, okay. All right. So, let's get on to what everybody wants to hear about. One of the reasons we brought Brandon along is because, as I said earlier, it's a really busy day for us on a Tuesday as we're getting ready, but the third person who joins us every week, and I think even the two of us are going to rotate. We're going to try to have Colin come in and Brad and all kinds of people, you know. But Brandon read a bunch of Tomorrow's Comics. Is that legal? Can we even say that on Facebook?
I don't know.
So, he's not going to give you spoilers, but this is a better way for us to actually talk about the books that are coming out without just, purely speculating about them. And you've had the really cool Captain Marvel Adam Hughes variant out there tantalizing everyone. So, Brandon, what did you read?
All right. So I started off my reads with Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man number 1 by Tom Taylor and art by Juan Cabal. It's got kind of two stories in it. So, starting with the A story, and I should just say, this book is really focusing on community, the people that Peter Parker, it's a Peter Parker book that he interacts with on a daily basis, that he sees down the street, across the hall, outside the apartment, you know, on his way about his day. The friendships that he makes along the way as well. So the A story is it's kind of a slight detective sort of thing where he's brought in to check on a new neighbor, and I don't want to get into any spoilers. But it is a very nice progressive feeling story where towards the end we're starting to figure out, okay, there's something happening that Peter needs to investigate, and then it does feel like it ends kind of abruptly and then goes to, okay, there's the B story now, where That's also written by Tom Taylor, but it's penciled by Marcelo Ferreira.
Oh, there are actually two stories in it, not just woven together.
They're sort of woven together a little bit, but yeah, the B story is very much more just like a focus on Peter's closer loved ones, specifically Mary Jane and Aunt May. And it felt like that abrupt end to the A story, which makes me want to pick up issue number two, of course, got me kind of chugging along, you know, through this B story, not really thinking. And I say that the way that the pacing picks back up and continues along into the final pages is something. I think this book's going to be something kind of special.
Okay. I like Tom Taylor's work a lot. I think he strikes me as a comics fan. You know, he strikes me as writing comics because he likes writing comics, you know, and he's done a lot of interesting, fun stuff. So, what's next?
So,
and there's a spoiler on the last page.
There is a spoiler.
We're going to break the internet.
I cannot say that spoiler and also the A story. So,
Real quick, Kate's wondering when the new Goddess Mode issue comes out. Do you know if number two is tomorrow or next week? Must be. It must be soon.
I need to double check that. Yep, okay. I don't think it is tomorrow. I don't think it is.
Okay, so probably another week, Kate. Thank you.
Okay, and then next I read up Batman 62 by Tom King, art by...
Who?
I think his name is Tom King. Not familiar with the DC.
There's a rumor that he was or was not in the CIA going around Twitter, so...
Anyways, and art by Mitch Gerards. And what really sticks out about this book to me is the art. It is visceral. I mean, you see on the cover, lots of pink. There's a lot more red inside. Pig is just a... It's an interesting. I feel like I keep saying interesting. So this book, in the art, there's a really cool glitch effect, and that's something that I've been really, really noticing more in some books here and there. Is the art will in some ways look kind of like maybe it's a printing error, but it's not a printing error because it's very clearly put in there on purpose. And there's this kind of distorted effect with green that leaves this kind of tint shadow with the reds. And the story is just kind of more of Batman's in this situation and how is he getting himself out of it. It's got some pretty jarring scenes, some pretty jarring descriptions. And it's not a book for the dinner table. Definitely not. I will say, what this specific issue doesn't have much on story. I haven't been reading the main Batman line, really, any of it. But I think this issue is very interesting to pick up, cool to pick up, as just a one-shot if you're, you know, want to see something kind of more in line with kind of what I would expect an indie comic to kind of go with, the sort of visceral descriptions, depictions of things.
So the thing about this run is it's a 103-issue story arc, as he's made clear. And the reason it's 103 is because there's a couple issues he didn't write, and so it'll be like 100 or 101. I don't know exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, the famous thing last summer, you probably followed the news about the wedding issue and, yes, you know, the non-wedding and all that. But, you know, that was the thing that was the halfway point of a long-form story. And I really kind of like this idea of, you know, like Saga, right? It's I don't know how many issues it's going to be, but it's going to be finite and it exists all by itself, right? Why can't you do that with Batman or other mainstream characters? You know, why can't you just tell a 5-year story and you know, have a complete thing? I mean, I really like this idea a lot. So what else did you read?
So I also read Die Number 2. So I'll talk a bit about that. You know, Die Number 1 I had only read recently, and that kind of just transported me. I felt like I was in a whole nother realm, you know, playing D&D a little bit. I feel a little bit more of that playing D&D vibe with issue number 2, where you're starting to learn the rules of the game a little bit more. This is probably going to be my favorite independent comic for, you know, a long time. I'm sure. It's really blown me away, and I can't thank Darren enough about recommending it to me, because it's got some really fantastic world building in it. It feels like a really creative mind that really understands kind of how people want to play D&D, because it's got a lot of references to, you know, Dungeons and Dragons. The whole thing is set up as sort of like, you know, some kids were trapped in a Dungeons and Dragons game, and some stuff went wrong, and now they need to go back years later. So it was really fun. It's a really fun read. It's written by Kieran Gillen, and art by Stephanie Hans.
And I just want to mention, Russ, you got a shout out from Luke Safely.
Yeah.
Hey, Luke. So. Darren, what's on your radar for tomorrow? Like, what are you taking home tonight? Everything.
Yeah. Batman. I am, you know, with Mitch Gerard's artwork as well. I collect. If Tom King and Mitch Gerard work on a book, regardless whether I'm getting that book, I'll buy that issue. Die number 2 is my pick of the week. Let me think what else is on my.
We have our picks of the week scrolling too, so yeah. I don't even know what my pick is.
Yours is Batman 62.
Oh, okay, excellent.
Yes.
So.
Murder Falcon. I'm just reading the off
is,
of this now.
Colin. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
Brandon,
a, this
do you like. Do you like metal?
Metal,
music. Like metal, metal music. Oh,
music, yeah. Metal
okay,
music,
you've
yeah.
got to read. You've got to read Murder Falcon.
Murder Falcon.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that seemed a little bit over the top, and that should be right up my alley if it's over the top. Like that.
It is over the top.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
In the best possible way.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric Jinx is joining us too. Hey, Eric, we're starting our new weekly comic show tonight. We're doing reviews of last week, doing a little speculation about tomorrow. Then we're going to show you all the covers that we've got available for tomorrow, and you can add them to your list just by commenting in the thread and or just flat out buy them, and we'll send you a PayPal invoice via Messenger. So, couple minutes left in the speculation
all
segment.
Right. We'll go through this. Prodigy number 2, I talked a little bit about how I picked up Prodigy number 1, kind of expecting an action comic by Mark Miller and Raphael Albuquerque. The art is really, I was going to say it felt kind of like it should be an action book just from the art. It feels like everything's flowing and ready to, you know, just jump off the page, but things start getting a bit darker in this issue from issue number 1, and start seeing more of a conspiracy storyline, which that piqued my interest, but I still want that action. I picked up the book because I was hoping for action,
yeah.
And I'm still like waiting to see, you know, when the explosions are going to happen, when, you know, when the gunfights are going to ensue. It's a really interesting story. I keep saying interesting.
That's fine.
Fine. That's my take.
That's your catchphrase.
Interesting. Yeah. So
we just finished watching Christopher Eccleston Doctor Who, and he always says fantastic. So maybe you get
interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and I admit I was a little out of the loop on being prepared knowing what's coming out tomorrow. But, you know, we've about hit that point in the show. Does anybody have any other book to mention for tomorrow they want to talk about? Or should we start going through them?
Paradox pick of the week of Young Justice number 1.
Oh, how is it?
It is phenomenal. I've never really been a Justice League type person, but this is Young Justice, and I love Young Avengers. I love Brian Michael Bendis, and I love Avengers.
So you like Young, you like Bendis.
Bendis.
So therefore,
Avengers, yeah. And I think anybody that's read Brian Michael Bendis' Avengers will really get a kick out of this book. There's little nods.
Okay. I'm interested to see if people who are Young Justice fans are chomping for this book or not. You know, a lot of people love the Young Justice cartoon animated series, and there was a long-running Young Justice series in the 90s as well. So just intrigued to see whether they tap into something here or not in this new Wonder Comics line. So,
okay. So are we ready for the next?
Yeah, I think so. One more reminder. We're going to start going through the books. We'll put the books on focus, and we'll give you guys 15 to 30 seconds per book, per cover. We'll tell you a little bit about them as we know them. And again, all you got to do is post here in the comments that you need it added to your list, or let us know that you want to buy that book, and we'll take care of you that way. We will ship USPS for anybody who needs that, and you'll get your totals through the invoices on Messenger. So everything you're going to see here is available tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. Wednesday morning. There you go. Yeah, yes, no, Eric Jinks wants everybody to make sure that Harley Quinn 57 is on their radar. The variant, the cover B by Tedesco is $25 to $30 online and features the first appearance of a new character as well. So definitely the book of the week from the speculator standpoint. It's probably correct. So, all right. Who's doing this?
I'm doing it.
You're doing it.
I'm on it.
Yeah, no, I see it. So.
Feel like we should talk about something.
Yeah, you should. Should we just say the name of the book? And
oh yeah, sorry, you said
creative yeah. And all
so
that.
So Batman 62, yep. Tom King, and Mitch Gerard.
Yeah, again, just another installment in a great run. And you're absolutely right. Like, if Mitch Gerard does a book, buy it. Yeah. So especially with King. So
yeah, so this is the variant to that book, which is Frank Miller. So it would be nice to
it's see. Cool. I mean, that's one thing that's really interesting. King talked a lot about this on Twitter. You know, the run that he's on right now, it isn't even so much necessarily that an arc is drawn by an artist. It's like every issue is drawn by an artist. And then he's got a lot of classic Batman artists coming in doing covers and work and things like that. And, I mean, I guess we get a lot of Mikael Janin. Mm-hmm. Just finished the Penguin arc, which was great. Loved it. So, yep.
Okay. So the next one is... Deathstroke Arkham. It's issue 39. This is by Priest and Pazari?
I don't know. Pazarin? Yeah. So I haven't read any of this Deathstroke arc. It didn't. You know, the thing is, I wonder about this book because there's like Deathstroke, the Tony S. Daniel run sold really well late in the New 52, and then Christopher Priest, I thought, might actually... It just seems like this book doesn't get traction, and I don't know why. Like, Deathstroke's a cool character, people like him, and they just did that big Batman arc, but it just does not catch on, sales-wise, so...
Okay, next up is Green Arrow. This is cover A. This is by Kelly and Lanzig. So this is cover A.
Hi, Samantha Miller. Showing off all the books that are coming out tomorrow.
And then we have a variant. This is a Neil Adams pencil variant, which is kind of cool, which you can't really see, unfortunately.
No, you can't see it very well. Oh. We'll have to work on our cameras.
Yeah.
Maybe if you like tilt it up.
Am I the only one on the planet who hates Neil Adams? Like, I realize that I'm insane and
I like old school Neil Adams, but not so much.
He's just never been. He's not my guy. So. Brandon, are you with me?
A little bit. I'm looking at the big stack of comics, everything that I've had a chance to read, but I didn't pick.
So Green Lantern, number 3, Liam Sharp, written by Grant Morrison.
Yes. Is everybody down for this book?
Definitely.
Grant Morrison's just amazing.
This book is like I've said this before, but it's like a crazy 1970s science fiction comic, in my opinion. And I gotta admit, Liam Sharp is just killing it, and I'm famous for saying I don't like Liam Sharp, but I'm really enjoying the work here. So,
and we have a variant for the same book as well. That's by Jay Lee, and that's pretty cool as well.
And a lot of those DC variants obviously are open order. But yet, you know, even given that, that's where all the Art Germ and Josh Middleton and all these value covers seem to come out of these DC B open to order things. So
we have Justice League number 15 by Tynion and Snyder.
And I think they pulled this up. I don't know. I'm the only one here reading Justice League, I'm sure, but I feel like this book comes out every other day. Like, it's not even that it comes out every other week. It's just, and Tynion and Snyder, I think, alternate writing chores. I'm not really sure. If I was smarter, I would probably know that, like, Tynion writes the villain issues and Snyder writes the League issues. I don't really know. So I like it. I'm digging it, but I'm always backed up because it's just I read it and then I turn around and I've got another issue. It's just
so we have Martian Manhunter. This is the variant. Issue 2, this is by Steve Orlando and Rossimo.
Anybody get a chance to read number 1?
I didn't, no.
Okay. I did.
Oh, what did you think?
Not my cup of tea. I don't know so much on DC characters, even Martian Manhunter, but I think maybe somebody that does like Martian Manhunter and knows a bit more of his backstory, John Johns, would really love this book. It's a 12-issue maxi series.
I think it is.
They build it as.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
Who's the creative team?
Steve Orlando and Riley Rossimo.
Oh, yeah, you said that.
Yeah.
And I've heard it hits the ground running, like you should know everything that's going on.
Yeah, that's the kind of vibe I got where I just felt a little bit lost.
Sure.
Getting into the issue number 1, so.
Fair enough.
So then we have two covers for Nightwing. This is the first one, cover A. This is 56, written by Scott Lobdell.
Oh, no. Scott Lobdell. No. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. We're live. I'm not a huge fan. He's had a career, right? Like, he's written comics since the beginning of Wildstorm, you know, like 1992. So, I mean, that's impressive. So, and I don't know what's going on because he's like going by Rick Grayson now or something after the shot to the head. And I don't know. I should pick some issues up, but.
All right, and then there are more covers, but this is a couple of covers for Wonder. Young Justice from Wonder Comics. Again, Brandon was talking about the new Bendis and the Gleason book. This is one of the covers of Wonder Girl. And then this is the main, I believe this is the main one, one of the main ones. So, yeah. So they're the DC books.
Yeah,
I'm looking. I got to take Young Justice home. I'm probably going to grab that copy right there.
Yeah, that is
that one as that pretty, we're looking at. So again, we're going through tomorrow's books. Yeah. If you want stuff added to your list, David Economos is hoping to get one of the Harley variants. We'll see if we have any. But that's exactly how you do it, David. Post that comment right there, and we'll do our best to take care of you 99.8% of the time. So
we have Avengers number 12.
Brandon, did you read this? I'm sorry.
Yes, I read this, and it's okay that you cut me off, because I don't have a whole lot to say about it, but it's mainly we see Chairman T'Challa. He's chairman of the Avengers now, Black Panther, and he's putting together his support staff for Avengers Mountain, and I love anything Avengers that gets put out. I'm on such a huge kick, and I'm really loving the Jason Aaron's take on the Avengers.
Cool. Yeah, and he's really building a worldwide tale. I mean, he's setting up an Earth. There, every country's got a superhero team, the big superpower, the big superpowers anyway. And he's really building something epic that we're still in the early stages of, even though we're on issue 12. So,
yeah. So next up, just in time, we have Captain Marvel number 1. By Kelly Thompson.
Tickets just went on sale, I think, like yesterday or something like that. I was like, holy crap, is it? Because it's early February, right? So,
So if you want to get, Captain Marvel.
It's a craze I'm not in on. I think, you know, Kelly Sue really, DeConnick, really brought this character from moderate obscurity to pretty success. You know, and we sold a lot of Captain Marvel during, for Captain Marvel, we sold a lot of copies during that run. And it petered out towards the end like everything does. But ever since then, I mean, they've been trying, you know, to find their footing with Captain Marvel books. But I think we've just sort of slowly lost fans. So maybe with the life of Captain Marvel and a relaunch in the movie, it's, you know, we'll a good see. Time to see if anybody comes in and checks it out.
We have Domino issue 10.
Yeah, and like Domino, it's another thing where like all the classic X-Force characters, there's a Shatterstar miniseries, the Domino miniseries. I assume we'll get a young Cable miniseries now because he's leading this classic X-Force team now. So who's the creative on this book?
That's a good question. Unfortunately, they don't have him on the cover.
Oh, yeah, because of the Stan Lee tributes. You can't tell. So the Stan Lee tributes are nice. I mean, you open them up and you get the nice pencil drawing of Stan Lee. I like them. But, yeah, the covers. Our friend Brian Hibbs has had quite a few comments about the covers on Facebook. So go, Brian.
And then again, Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. Brandon was talking about this book earlier.
Who's the artist?
Good question.
For the cover or for the... there's Juan Cabal. I think he's going to be the main artist for the... he was in the A story. And then for the B story, it was Marcelo Ferreira.
Brandon should be good on all fronts. We'll take care of you. If we don't comment directly when you're making comments, don't be worried. We're just focused on going through the books. We will, no matter what we get, you know, we'll go through the comments after the show and get everything lined up as well. But this is perfect. David and Brandon, good work. So,
okay, and then we have Miles Morales, Spider-Man, issue 2.
Boy, you know... I've read some people where they've had a lot of success after Spider-Verse with the Spider-Verse for characters taken off. I haven't seen that in our shop. I don't know, like, we're not very near movie theaters either, though, so, you know, that...
Yeah, I've noticed an increase in sales in a few of the trades and people coming in. There has been a definite increase in the Spider stuff. And we got that little display just before you get to the counter, so that's helping as well.
Brandon, did you see Spider-Verse yet?
I have not seen Spider-Verse. I did pick up the first issue of this, Miles Morales Spider-Man, and I think it's cool. I think it's fresh. I think it's hip and down with the kids.
That's why Brandon's here. Brandon, we're old. Brandon's young. You know.
I'm young, too. All
right. Well, you are part owner of the Red Raven.
Of the Red Raven.
Right?
Parlor. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. We will absolutely be planning some kind of Nerd Night ish event
there.
It's,
so.
Maybe we can do the show live from the Red Raven one night.
And, with the sound of espresso.
Yes.
Being ground up.
So next up we have Spider-Gwen Ghost Spider, issue number 4. Again,
she calls herself Ghost Spider now?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm not sure. That's just in the title. I haven't read it yet, so...
Oh, Brad Carson's chimed in that Gail Simone is writing Domino. Thanks, Brad. Brad's going to be our fact checker. He's going to be our online fact checker. I don't know if... I think she's calling... Well, I don't know if Ghost Spider is a villain or she changed her name to that, or I just have no idea. So
we can't read every book.
No, we can't. I've read some Spider-Gwen issues. I really like them. I think that if it's... And isn't it basically still the same creative team, or at least writer? Rodriguez? Robbie?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Then never mind.
So we're on to Star Wars issue 59.
I don't know. I go back and forth on the Star Wars comics.
Yeah, me too.
Boy, that story arc from issue 50 to 55 was spectacular. Yeah. I don't know how many issues it was, but and if you haven't read that, I think we have a lot of the issues and probably a trade now.
There's a trade that collects those as
Yeah. It's epic. You want to find out how Rogue Squadron became Rogue Squadron. You want to see a gigantic space battle. You want to see the Falcon being chased by Darth Vader's TIE Fighter. Like, that book is just... And it was good. Like, the art, Salvador LaRocca, like, did a terrific job of emulating what the characters even posed like and things like that. It just was, that book was terrific. But I don't, you know, then I kind of bow out.
Yeah. So Still, these are the one shots, the Star Wars Age of Republics, focusing on this particular character. This one's Jango Fett, so this is out tomorrow.
So, Brandon, I'm not a marketing expert, but at some point, not marketing the prequel trilogy would be my strategy. How about you? I don't.
Yeah. thing is, though, I was raised on the prequel trilogy.
Oh.
That's my Star Wars, and I know it shouldn't be. And that's kind of why I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, I think. It's just a little bit of... I've sat through those prequel movies a lot more than I've sat through the actual... I mean, I try to sit down and watch the original, but I lose a bit of nerd cred that I'm not... Not huge on Star Wars.
No, and I think the books like this are for the completists
absolutely.
You know,
the
I bet you also it's a way to try out talent. You know, I bet you they assign writing and art to young creators to see what to see what they can do with a book. So
then we have the next book up, is Thor issue 9.
Yeah, we're getting ready for War of Realms.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm behind on Thor, but I really like the book a lot. I think I just like Jason Aaron. You know, I think Jason Aaron's a really good creator and does a lot of good stuff. And I even back as far back as I am. I mean, they were setting up this war, in dialogue all the time. So, looking forward to it. And it's War of Realms is an event book by itself, right? Like is it in Thor? Or is there a War of Realms number one? That's I just don't know.
I think there is.
Okay.
I think it's 17 as well. Okay. So then we have a couple of covers for Venom Unleashed, Web of Venom.
Sure. Who is this? A Cates one shot or
his name is not on the cover. Okay. So.
What do you know what this book's about? Because I didn't even know this was a book. And then
Web of Venom. I actually had questions about it and needed a few people to help me clear it up too, because it's a series of one shots.
Yep.
But a limited series, so it's things that are connected to Venom's past and other Venom happenings. So the other ones that came out was V-Nam, which was the symbiotes that were used in the Vietnam War in the Marvel Universe, and then Carnage.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
and that was just really great as a refresher of Carnage for me, because there's so many of these Spider-Man related characters that I'm not so familiar with.
Yeah, I felt like Carnage was a reset button for the character that and it made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I didn't time that very well.
Oh, that's okay.
And the final Marvel book for today is X-23 number 8.
She really did do well as all-new Wolverine. Laura Kinney's a cool character. I like Laura Kinney. I liked her in the movie. I like her in the comics. And I never read her comics. And I don't really have an excuse for it. You know, she's a character I like. So, but, what can I say? Get her out of there! So that's Marvel and DC.
So we're on to some independent titles now.
I also just want to chime in that you sold an issue of Young Justice number one.
I sold an issue of Young Justice.
Brad Carson specifically says you sold him on Young Justice.
I mean, it was fun, and being the super mega Avengers fan I am, and I do like Bendis, so Young Justice, it felt right as a team.
I will be reading that one.
All right, Indie Time.
Yeah, so Adventure Time, issue 4. This is a season 11.
Continuing on from the show,
We have a variant as well. This is cool. I've been reading this book.
Are any of the show creators involved in that? Or just
I'm not on this title. Okay. There is a spin-off title coming out just for 6 issues. It's written by the actress that voices, I think it's Marcy, the vampire.
So, okay.
That's called Simon and Marcy. That starts on the 19th or no, the 20th. It's either next week or the following week. So yeah, 6 issue series.
Sure.
And that also continues after season 10 of Adventure Time. So then we have a couple of covers for Blackbird, which is pretty cool. This is an image book written by Sam Humphries and art by Jen Bartel, and you'd probably recognise her work. She does a lot of cover work, but this is a book with interiors, which they're absolutely stunning. And the variant is by I can't remember her name now. Sana Takeda, that's right, she draws Monstrous, which you can tell stylistically straight away that...
I mean, Jen Bartel's art is fantastic. Pardon me.
And then we have Die number two. So there's a couple of covers. This is the main cover. I don't need to talk about this.
Is this going to tie in with Rick and Morty versus D&D? All right, fine.
And then this is a variant. This is cool as well.
This is a cool looking book. This thing is so off my radar. So it's Gillen and who?
Stephanie Hans. She's mainly done covers. She's a French artist.
Yeah. I literally thought it was like die. It's so off my radar, just not knowing what it is. So oops.
And then we have Doctor Who, the 13th Doctor, issue 3.
Hey, Christian, you're tuning in right at the end, but we're recapping tomorrow's books coming out. If you need to add something to a list, you can do that. Or if you want to buy something, just post in the comments. Go back and watch the show. We recapped last week's reads, and we're getting ready for tomorrow's. So.
Okay, and then we have a new book, a new title this week. I haven't actually read this or know much about it. It's called Gunning for Hits, a music thriller. It has, I believe that looks like David Bowie on the cover. And the logo is... I remember seeing that logo on CDs. Something similar. I can't remember actually what it said, but if anyone remembers CDs.
Yeah. What are those again? I know Image is backing this pretty well, and I don't know anything. I mean, well, I didn't know anything about Die, so what am I going to know about this? So.
Well, John and I thought we'd just give this a go. I haven't actually read anything of it yet, so he's a Bowie fan. So, and then we have Murder Falcon. Everyone should be reading this book. It's just a really goofy, cool monsters and music. So this is a main cover by the artist Daniel Warren Johnson. He's also the writer. And then we have a Ryan Ottley cover as well, variant, which is super cool. There you go. Murder Falcon.
You got it, Andrew. No problem. And did you do a Doctor Who in there?
There was a Doctor Who.
Okay, yeah, we just didn't talk about it.
I didn't. Yeah. Do you want it back?
No, Jen just mentioned that Doctor Who was in that pile. So.
And then Oblivion Song, issue 11. Yeah, another great book.
The book's killing it. It's everything that I want in a action series with kind of a high concept. I mean, it's I like the characters, I like the action, the way that they were, no one knew about it. I just love this book. It's a really good read. If you're not reading it, we have the trades, we have the issues, we can absolutely get you going on this book. Yeah. I recommend it highly. Like, turns out Robert Kirkman knows how to write, I guess. So,
So another Image book, Out of Darkness. I didn't read this. This is by John Layman, the writer of Chew. I don't really know much about it, to be honest. But we've been selling it, so not many copies, but we have been selling it. I know it's a sci-fi book, so if you like Chew, the writer of Chew, John Layman, if we've got any issues missing, I'm sure I'll be able to pick them up for you. Prodigy 2, a couple of variants for this one. This is the regular cover.
Yeah, I mean, what's really interesting about Prodigy and Magic Order to me is... because they've all got on the back cover, you got the big Netflix logo. Netflix bought Millar World, Lock, Stock, and Barrel. And now it's already happening where I talked about on this show or on DocsCast in the past about the talent drain that could bring out of the comics industry and into this, because they have built in ownership of the property. So if it becomes a big hit... and turns into a billion-dollar property, that he can offer those people something that Marvel and DC and company, just can't offer, And I'm still intrigued by that. So far we have Albuquerque, who I really like on this book, and of course, Coypel, just killing it. Doing just about his best work. He's always been good, but I don't know if he's been this consistent as he has been on Magic Order so far.
That is a fantastic book.
Yeah. I mean, I'm way behind because you don't have an issue number 3 for me, but...
Well, the thing is, he's not doing second prints, so as soon as they sell out,
But that's what I'm fascinated by is what is the collector implication of these books? I mean, on the one hand, it's built into the comic shop orders that we know that they're going to be, you know, likely they're going to be TV shows. I'm sure not every one of them, but that has an impact of, you know, you if all of a sudden Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu, gets announced to have a movie. You know, the first appearance skyrockets because nobody knew that. But here we know that. So it's built into the price and into the order numbers. So I don't know. But yes, no second prints, which is, by the way, actually something I really like and have suggested before. So maybe he listened to me.
Yes.
I mean, not to Mark Millar, but in general, I've suggested that.
And the final book from my image, my independent stack is Self-Made. This is an obscure little... This is a new creator, the writer, Groom. He's Australian. And it's kind of like non-player. There's an element of virtual reality to this. But I don't want to say too much because if you're reading it, I'll spoil it. But things aren't at all what they seem when you're reading it. And it moves along to different places and for various reasons. You know, things glitch and the story is retold in different ways, the same moment. So it's interesting. I'm on the fence on this book, but I think if you got an interest in reading something different, Self-Made would be a title you should try. So
I mean, there you go. That's everything that's going to be on our rack tomorrow. Did you? I don't know if you grabbed trade paperbacks or.
Oh, I didn't.
That's fine. So, you know, that's pretty much what this weekly comic show is going to be. We will do, you know, as things go on. I mean, it's 2019 is kicking off. We're in the middle of a remodel of the shop. We're launching a new website. So a lot of things are going to change and evolve. You're going to get a lot of offers from us on this show as time goes on. We're gonna do a lot, but we just need to get it going. It's like the blog I'm starting to write. You either do it or you don't do it. So here we are. So, okay. Brandon, any final thoughts for the week?
Final thoughts. It was a big week. There is definitely a book for you to pick up. I mean, even if it's just one book you want to give a shot, there's something out there for you.
I have a question, Brandon. Did you feel special being able to read the books before even we've read them?
I felt like a VIP. Yeah. I walked back there, and you're sorting all the stuff into boxes, and everybody's turning to me, and they're going, "Oh, Brandon, what can we grab for you? What do you want?"
Excellent.
You're our hero. Yes. Well, if you enjoyed being on, we're going to try to have a guest every week, and if you enjoyed it, like, it's a gig you can possibly keep. I suppose I'll have to talk about paying you at some point, though.
Let's see. I don't know. Comic books on a Tuesday night, though.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. If you watch this later, feel free to continue to chime into the comments. Or again, you know, our email, paradox@paradoxcnc.com. Find us on Twitch or on Instagram as ParadoxCNC. There's this Facebook page. There's the website. There's the phone. You can call us. I know that's not in vogue with the kids, as Brandon would say. But those are all your options. So thanks a lot for tuning in. And I hope you enjoyed this show. And there will be a lot more to come.
This was a DoxCast. Hope you think it rocks cast. Oh, look at the clocks cast. Until next time.